Populations are booming in regional centres at the moment. Murray Bridge is growing. There's demand in Strathalbyn on the south coast and, of course, the booming town of Mount Barker in the hills. While it is welcome in some areas, it puts others under strain. Joining me for a chat about it is Flinders University's Andrew Parkin. He's a professor in business, government and law. Hi, Andrew.
Morning.
Now, you've been surveying regional communities about growth, and opinions really quite vary depending on localities, don't they?
That's right. We started this project, in a sense, pre-pandemic days, and looking a bit further out from the 5-year new footprint, we're doing a major project, the Limestone Coast, which is the area that goes, in a sense, from the Mallee down through to Mount Gambier, and it has sort of a coastal outlook and then to the Victorian border. And pre-pandemic, there was a very strong view, at least among the business sector down there and the Regional Development Authority, that the population retention was a real issue. Population loss would mean difficulty for business prosperity and sustainability, and the loss of young people of a certain workable age. So they had a long-term strategy for population retention and growth. Now, the pandemic has changed this a bit. There has been a kind of a switch, not just the tree change, sea change thing that was always going on, but evidence that from those kind of regions, a bit further out from metropolitan centres, fewer people are leaving because why would you want to, and more people are coming in. And the problem in those areas is two problems really. One is a housing accommodation problem, that where do these people who are staying or want to come in find somewhere to buy or rent affordably? And the other one is a mismatch with jobs. The great news is that these regions are not short of jobs. They're not declining regions, but there's consistent reports from employers across a range of sectors. They can't find people to match those jobs. So that's the focus of what we're doing in our study.
Ah, I see. And opinions can really change as well, can't they? You know, in Mount Barker, I think a lot of people are pretty upset about the speed at which the population is booming, because maybe it's not quite what they, you know, thought that Mount Barker was meant to be, and then the infrastructure having to catch up as well.
As you get close to Adelaide, and Mount Barker's a great case, it's so attached to Adelaide, in a sense, a commuter attachment, which I gather is one of the major problems of how to do that commute in a way that's reasonable. And the thing that attracts people to Mount Barker, which probably is its semi-rural ambience, of course, the attraction itself undermines that reason for coming. So it's almost like, let me in, but now that I'm in, I'd like to keep it the way it is. And that's been a problem, I think, way down the south coast. I mean, Victor Harbour, Port Elliot, Goolwa area, wasn't that long ago. It has the same kind of ambience, and it's still a great place to live, but it's close enough to Adelaide to be not quite a dormitory suburb, but enough people do that to make it an issue.
Mm. Professor Andrew Parkin from Flinders University is with us. We're talking about population growth in regional areas. What do governments need to do to get on top of this and try to address some of the issues of these growing pains?
Well, it's a good question of what the role of government is here. There's certainly a role for infrastructure, and that's where the debate about the freeway comes in. But we're finding, what is the government role in sense of matching the skill gap? It's quite widely discussed that the TAFE sector is struggling. It's been through a number of restructures. It seems absurd that we have businesses crying out for skilled labour across various trades and professions, and yet not the people to fill them. And that's coming to a head because, of course, immigration is grinding to a halt, probably temporarily. And it's become quite clear that immigration of skilled immigrants has been the propping up the system. Mm. And long-term, we've done a very poor job in transitioning particularly young people from high school into what clearly are well-remunerated and highly skilled jobs. But they're not oriented towards it. And it could be that my own sector is part of the problem here. I work in the university sector. Have we done too much in raising the profile of the university sector and not quite solved the problem of vocational skills? And if you're a tradie now, you've probably never had more work to do. Mm. But there are not enough tradies around. Why aren't we producing more carpenters and plumbers and fitters and turners and forklift drivers and the kind of important jobs that employers say they simply can't find the people to do.
Yeah, right. And then, of course, the housing issue. You know, a lot of constraints, hard to buy or rent at the moment, almost anywhere. It's hard for new workers in Murray Bridge, for example, to get a place.
That's right. And we've discovered that down the Limestone Coast. There are places like, well, think of Robe, which is a classic, beautiful coastal town. Its main business is hospitality and tourism, but it needs people to work in the restaurants and the motels. Where can they find a place to live? All the rental, if it's there, is holiday rentals at the kind of exorbitant rents that you wouldn't want to pay if you were working in those kind of positions. There's a real mismatch between what the business side of the communities need and the ability to get labour. It's quite clear a number of businesses in Robe would work longer hours and do more things if they could find the staff, but they apparently can't. And a major reason is, where are those staff going to live? And right now we're in a kind of this very strange situation of regions that in fact are booming, if only they could find the staff to run the booming industries.
Because I imagine, Professor Andrew Parkin, that also, you know, there is a lot of value of a booming population for regional and provincial areas.
Yes, that's one of the trade-offs. I mean, it's one thing to say I like my area, the size it is. It's friendly, it's semi-rural, it has the ambience. That's why I moved here. But of course, the bigger you get, the more you'll get the services you need. It's only worth investing in childcare or specialist medical care or those other kind of, you know, education and training services if there's a sufficient critical mass of customers willing to do it. So Mount Gambier can do things, for example, that perhaps border town can't because of a different kind of population mix and scale. So there's always this trade-off. We're trying to ask people, look, what are the advantages of living where you live now in terms of why you moved here, why you might stay? Are you thinking of going? Why? If in your household you have people who are school leavers, will they be staying? Will they be going to Adelaide or Sydney or Hong Kong? Why is that? There is this kind of shift of young adults out of the regions for reasons I think we understand and maybe possibly a good thing. Will they come back? Mm. What will entice former rural high school graduates when they become nurses or doctors or plumbers or carpenters or ag scientists or whatever back to the regions? And that's the kind of conversation I think regional authorities are beginning to have, and it's a very complicated issue.
Oh, well, really interesting to have a chat with you about it. Thanks so much for your time today.
A pleasure.